Our happy opening weekend for the 2024 season with one more game remaining playing in the background, Cardinals and the Dodgers. Cal, happy opening day one last time. Are you there?
We are so back. I'm pretty fired up. We got a whole lot to get into here. I think we'll just start with the draft, and then we'll give our preseason predictions, try to throw in some hot takes, get some people riled up. Season's already started a little bit later than we wanted to. So unfortunately we are doing this post-draft pod while we already have some idea how it's shaping out. But yeah, I'm overall pretty excited to get into it.
The draft was actually completed on March 22nd, a little over a week ago. This is March 31st, Easter Sunday night. Yeah, like I said, we've got the full weekend completed here. Everybody's got a win under... No, that's not true. We have a few that might have a win under their belt after tonight, but still a couple offers. But long season to go. And I would disagree. We really haven't seen what we have with the draft yet. We've got a couple months to see that one in, especially with as many young ones that were drafted this year. With that said, little nugget there right away. We had 24... I think this is a record. I have to dig it up. But we had 24 drafted from the top 50 MLB that we go off with. That's quite a bit of players coming out of 50. Not to mention the ones that are already selected the year before. But 24 that are actually drafted this year. It's got to be a record. So that said, let's jump into the first round, shall we? No shocker for the first round, first pick. We had the green onions on the clock. No mystery for where they were going, both 1 and 2. Wyatt Langford, quickly off the board from the Texas Rangers. The talk of the town, the new sheriff in town, whatever you want to call it, but he is now a green onion.
I could talk about it all day. I really don't want to go into my guys too much because, I mean, I did spend the second
he's
I
a 1-1. He's got to have some love.
Langford is absolutely special. I wasn't a huge fan of some of the hype that was around him, like from the Eric Crosses of the world going into the season. But the more you just see of him in spring, I was already sold on him to begin with as being 1-1, but I knew that I was never going to trade it. I had a couple sharks circling the waters there trying to get the number one pick.
I was literally going to follow up with that.
Yeah. I was never in doubt of keeping that pick. So
you did have some people kicking the tires, but you had nothing that was worth. Did you ever consider it?
No. I mean, I did for two, I was pretty close. But I still was pretty sold on Caminero. I have a vision for this team. It's building a very young empire. And so we just chip away at it one season at a time. It's obviously been a pretty slow process, not a very successful one. But I do hope one day I'll just have a all-star crew top to bottom. And then everyone who laughed at me at the bottom can, well, just shove it because I'm going to be at the top. So that's kind of the goal. Then going into the third pick, though, this is – I assume
hold when on. You traded hold the on. Pick. You didn't want to talk – hold on. You didn't want to talk about your picks, but I do. Okay. Real quick, no doubt on the player. We all knew. My little note was, can he live up to the hype? Would be my concern. You know, are we seeing the next Jason Hayward? That's just me being me. I hope I'm wrong. He seems like a good dude, but we've seen a lot of hype on a lot of players, and hopefully it hits for you.
Yeah.
Mr. Junior, I just tagged it as the Onions 2024 Adley Rutschman. Am I right?
There is no Adley Rutschman. That's a once in a lifetime thing.
All right. So now the draft begins with the third pick. Boys of summer around the clock, and they take
Yamamoto. Was that's where I assumed when you traded the third pick, which I wasn't really expecting, but I should have known better. That Alex was probably going to pair up Ohtani and Yamamoto like the Dodgers did. So I had a had an inkling that that was going to happen. And how do you not? I mean, what, he absolutely dominated in Japan. He was done. He absolutely needed to come over here and show what he had at the highest level. Got absolutely lit up when he was based in San Diego in the Korea series. If you were scared off by that one outing, you didn't deserve to have him in the first place. This guy is has a potential to probably be a top 10 starter in the league once he enters his prime. He's only 25, which is on the younger side of when a Japanese player gets posted. So still a lot of room to grow. He's going to have some hard knocks. It's probably going to be ugly at times, especially he's in a kind of a tough division with some serious talent. Yeah, it's definitely going to be some growing pains, but I mean, the stuff is there. He's going to light it up. So a solid pick at number three.
Crazy how we just letting you know, we don't share our notes. We what Cal's saying, he says, I don't know. And I literally have this in mind. I said, tons of chatter on his debut in Korea. Good to see Alex not buying into the panic. So that's crazy how we're just dead on with those notes. Good job. Number four pick, Jordan Montgomery, raises some eyebrows and some, I'll go ahead with this one without a doubt. It is a rookie mistake. I'll count him as still a rookie, even as a second year. And throw me under the bus with this one. Those who know, know. This is a Ty Wigginton, if ever I saw one. So, this could have been a later pick for sure. Drew should have capitalized a little more on the youth, especially since he has not even tapped into the minors. I'm beginning to wonder if he knows the rules of the draft here. So I'd like to talk to him and see what's going on. But he missed out on another minor leaguer prospect, and we'll see if it does pay off by luck, I guess. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not a good pick, but he'll pick up on that pretty quickly. I mean, I don't think this is something that you do twice. It also was done before he got signed too, so kind of also looked out that Dormont's going to a good place.
That is true.
Arizona is going to be a good place. So if anything, I think he's bailed out, if you will, by that a little bit. So I still think Dormont could pull off a 15-win season. Last year he was a victim of bad luck with the Cardinals, of course. If you look at his stats, he would go deep into games consistently. He'd keep their team in games. Unfortunately, he has a manager who doesn't know how to manage a bullpen, so they would inevitably blow the game, and Dormont would be, you know, dubbed with a no decision on a, you know, a seven-inning gem. But yeah, I do think that this is a massive reach, but maybe in the long run, it's not going to look as bad as some others. I mean, obviously, there are some picks in this first round that are going to be busts as well. So at least you know, this guy's going to give me innings. He's going to be points. The same can't be said for, you know, a 18-year-old catcher, if you will, even though I do like him. But yeah, it is a tough call at number four.
Mm-hmm. And what's weird, as you're talking, I'm looking at the draft, and the next pick was the last of the pitchers of the round. And you realize we only had three pitchers going, and the next one was the top of the town. It was Paul Skeens. Shocked that he went down to five, but good landing for the Phenoms. Picking up, the next Steven Strasburg, if we will. So, weird that was the last pitcher going in the first round. I never noticed that until just now. So, give me your thoughts on that.
Skeens, which I've been hitting the verbal gym here, so I think I said his name right.
Skeens one for one.
Is truly electric. You saw him in the breakout game against Holiday. Just absolutely blew away the best hitter in the class. He should be in the majors right now. I kind of understand Pittsburgh's thought process and just waiting. It doesn't really hurt them that much to wait. Not like they're going for it, I guess. I think the main concern you'd have to look at with a guy who is this good, throws this hard, has 4+ pitches with varying speeds, is arm concern. And it just feels like a season-ending injury waiting to happen at this level. I mean, all pitchers are susceptible to it. I think Skeens is especially so. With how good he is, that's the takeaway you get when you are that good. So, yeah, honestly, great pick. You got to love it at five. I think Andy's walking away pretty happy with this pick. But, yeah, I would not be surprised to just miss out on a whole season of him.
Let's just pin the next pick because we'll just skip and go to the next two of Andy's. The Phenoms own this part of the draft. So you went 5, 7, and 8. Number 7 was Dylan Cruz. Mm-hmm. Nice landing at number 7. I would have lost money on that one. Didn't think he would last that long. But there he is, sitting with the Phenoms right now. Give me your take on that.
I still think like Cruz is in the same... I think he belongs where he's at. I don't know if it's really falling because Ken's Badgers still had picked Merrill beforehand. I probably would still have taken Merrill at that spot because Merrill is a guy who's already broken camp. Whereas Cruz out of college was for like 2 years running the best bat in college, gets into his first taste of amateur ball or professional baseball, I should say, and struggled.
Right.
It's a very slow start. I'm still high on him. I'm not scared away by one half season, especially after playing, you know, in Omaha and everything, but I don't love to see how bad he struggled. So this is a big year for him. I mean, he's gonna go into his year. He's 23 years old now, so he's still young for sure. But you definitely want to see more from a high bat like that. So, and then Andy's Salas pick, and I think I just kind of referenced him a little bit earlier. He's a child out there. It's crazy how young he is. He still has a lot of poise, and at a position where it requires so much out of you mentally and physically, he looks legit. So I think within 2 years, that's going to be the franchise guy for Andy's catcher position. He can just leave it back there for a decade. I do like Salas a lot.
Very much what I wrote down as well, that you're looking at a possible franchise, face of the franchise for the Phenoms. And probably for the Padres, too. You never know. But nonetheless, get that body matured. Get him, you know, thickened up a little bit. And bring him up to the show. See what he can do for sure. So got himself locked and loaded for these three picks. So hats off to the Phenoms in the first round there. Back to number 6, Breaking Badgers. Break open with Jackson Merrill, as you just said. Shortstop with the Padres as well. Give me your take on that one.
Like I said, it's a pick I think you got to take. I think the unfortunate thing about that, it's the team he's on, I think, is the main issue. He has a lot of his value taken away because he plays in the outfield, which there's so many outfielders that do what he does. Whereas I don't know if he has a lot of room to grow in that position. The Padres have taken a lot of careers and just kind of lumped them in together where they just kind of go into mediocrity, I guess, if you will, if you're not like a Tatis or a Machado or like that level of talent. So Merrill still has plenty of growth in the pop department, I guess. But he's really got to get together, I would say, because outfield is going to make it a lot more competitive for him than shortstop would.
Very good, very good. Okay, lost my page. Where are we at?
Yeah, what I go, we go the ninth pick here. The Wonders take Nolan Jones. I think at the end of the year, it's going to be the best pick of the draft by points. This was a guy who hit almost 300, had a 2020 season at first base, and has the Coors effect backing him fully. This is, I think, a perfect Jason pick who just consistently gets those veteran presences that will just keep getting points year after year. And this is, I think, a great value at 9, who will probably be the best pick of the draft by points come year end.
That is crazy. I'm saying that because my notes say where Jason just continues to refresh his team. Nothing fancy, just they get the job done. So another pick that qualifies for that. And he has other ones to follow in this draft. But no wonder that was a solid pick there. So speaking of Nolan's, we got number 10 pick, Black Sox around the clock. A veteran rookie, as I guess we can call him. Nolan Chanel, that's how you say it. Chanel?
I just heard this a little bit ago. Chanel? We'll just go with
that. Chanel.
Skeens. So I really don't like this pick. I was surprised it came from Dodge, big prospect guy, mainly because I mean, he's a first baseman with no pop, which I think makes him pretty much useless. Last year he was brought up in a pretty horrible spot. He went directly from pretty much from the draft, like maybe a month or two after the draft, gets called up and is thrown into the big leagues, just like basically sink or swim. And he gets to retain the job. He didn't do horrible enough to like lose his job or anything. But I in like over what 150 at bats, he had one homer, which is not what you're wanting to see from first base, even if he's struggling.
No, right. Totally.
So perspective there. Yeah. So unless he's hitting like 320 and is stealing 15 bases at first base, I don't like it for the position and for the like how high the pick is. So yeah, not a lot of love for me on the pick, unfortunately. But then that rolls into Kobe Mayo, who is a pick I do like. This is from the Moonlight Grahams at pick 11. Mayo is in the list of Orioles that kind of got slighted, if you will. Right. Part of the Norfolk Tide Empire over there in AAA. With Holiday and Kjerstad. I absolutely expect him to have a job in absolutely no time. He's just gonna have to bide his time. And when he does, he will be a presence on that Grahams roster. It's already pretty much stacked as is. But yeah, solid pick at 11.
And since we're on this pick for Kobe Mayo, I do have to make an announcement, unfortunately. We did pause the draft, made a big deal, because it is a big deal, that it was a 2000 pick in the Sandlot season, or history. That is wrong. I will give you that information in a second here, as I figure out what I did with it. Basically, when I was adding the information into the archives, I realized it was a part of our history that it did not include the expansion picks of one of the expansion drafts. I don't even know which ones they were, but they were way back when. Everything else has been counted for other than that. So when I retallied, the actual 2000 pick goes to the Heat Wave last year in the fourth round. The 52nd pick was the outfielder from the Reds, Jake Fraley. Nothing fancy, nothing dancy, but he is the 2000 pick in the Sandlot history. And those of you wondering, well, then who was the 1000 pick? I did dig that one up too. That goes to, ironically, the Guineas, Eric Schmitty. In the first round of the 2009, ninth pick overall, starting pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You guess who it is?
2009 Diamondbacks pitcher?
Yep. High draft pick, mind you, number 9.
As like a kid? Spot here. Was he a prospect or an MLB pitcher?
Trying to think here. He wouldn't have been I don't think he was a prospect.
Oh, God.
Honestly, I can't remember where he came from.
I don't know. I think Scherzer was in the Diamondbacks in 09.
Oh, dude, you nailed it. It's Max Scherzer. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
dude,
let's go.
Get off. Let's go. The show. You don't belong here.
That's a W.
What the hell was that?
That's a W. Nice. All
seriously.
Right. That's a huge my win. Let's go put down the macro grid.
All right. So that's that. Yeah. Dude, where's the applause on this?
I think there's a button somewhere. Hold on. Let me see if I can even pull it out. I'm not going to applause myself. I can't even find the button. But yeah, there is one. We'll have to break it out maybe sometime.
There you have 1,000th pick in Sandlot history was Max Scherzer, and 2,000 was Jake Fraley.
Big so difference
hopefully
in picks.
We live long enough to get a 3,000th pick. I did do a little bit of math. I'm going to be about 65 years old by then, and you'll be around 35, I think.
Oh, no.
I'm doing it right.
That sounds horrible.
35, 36 years old. So, yeah, it's right around 13 years, 12, 13, 14 years. I don't know, depending on expansions, but we'll see who the 3,000th pick will be.
Adley Rutschman Jr.
Exactly. I'm thinking the dude's only 2 years old, whoever it is right now. Maybe 5. Depends on who's drafting, of course. All right, where were we? That was a total side, but that was a good one, though. I lost my page.
I think we're going to pick 12 here, which I think we're just going to do the number first 12. Round, pick by pick, and then after that, we'll just do what we like. First round, I think it deserves a little more attention, a little more talent, top heavy.
And I'm seeing you have no notes, but I actually had something, and I said it right away. To me personally, it was kudos to Johnny. The Tribe picked Detroit Tigers newly signed Colt Keith slash third baseman, second base. Why is that? Hats off to me, because he's the one, he and I made a trade off season, very minor trade, but the Paws acquired Justin Henry Malloy from him, so he needed to fill in that, and he wound up getting Colt Keith, who is actually ahead of Malloy, in the Tigers, you know, depth chart, so, and he's already up and running, so that's a great pick for Tribe to just fill in that hole, and probably cash in quicker than he would with Henry Malloy anyway, so. Quiet pick, but to me, he did his homework, I think. So, well done to Johnny on that one.
Yeah, I don't hate the pick at all. I think a pick you have to take. He hit, I think, almost 30 homers last year. Had an OPS of 930. That's absolutely the pick that probably should be taken there, especially if he can get the one up on you on the Malloy trade.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers obviously inked him in, so he's,
yeah, I mean, he's locked gonna have there
for a little bit. So, yeah. Yeah, you want that. So, Hardcore's on the clock with the 13th pick. Jung-Hoo Lee was taken. Outfielder for the Giants. What you got?
Just had his first homer. I think it was last night. So that was nice to get that off the monkey off the back there. I do like this pick from like just going off of his past track record in Korea. He has never hit below 300. His main thing is going to be the hit tool. I don't think he's going to be super electric on the base pads or maybe just like a ton of pop. I think the main thing is he's going to get you consistent points over time, game over game. And that's kind of perfect for Mark's team because he just kind of grinds you down. I think that's the perfect guy for the perfect team.
Well said. I guess, so. I don't know, stuff from amnesia. I didn't know the golden numbers were in the first round. Good pick here. I didn't think he had a pick until late. So
yeah, I don't remember
somehow
him
he snuck this pick in here.
But I think, yeah, I vaguely remember it, but I also was coming up in the next two picks, so I was kind of focused on that. But yeah.
Oh, no, he acquired this. He traded for this pick.
Carlson for this pick, which was what a get on that one. Yes. Carlson, I think the next day goes down with that injury. Walker just runs into him full speed. Brutal luck for the Grams, who had this pick beforehand. But trading Carlson for a first round pick and then he can't even use him. So yeah, I would say that Tim absolutely capitalized on what he was given. He gets what I think is the best high school bat from the 2023 draft. Jenkins even performed in professional ball extraordinarily well, and it will probably see him in AA by end of year this year, and might even ETA of next year if he keeps up the good work. So yeah, this is a solid pick at 14.
I'll just add, it's not about who he picks, it's about who he keeps. So let's see if he has the patience and not trade him away before he hits.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about that.
Number 15 was going to the Fanatics, Nelson Velasquez. You got a flag on it. I kind of disagree with it, with the flag, because I mean, he's in the lineup. He's going. I mean, it's a bat ready to go. So, not a bad pick to get your offense going. So,
I don't know. I guess there's other players that went later, I think, that I'd probably rather have. But even then, I would just trade back. You could even just trade it for another outfielder then. You know, instead of having to draft Velasquez, you could trade that number one pick for an outfielder. I think it's better than Velasquez. But
I agree.
I was not a huge fan, I guess, of getting kind of limited production. I think Velasquez is already on kind of a short leash, if you will, even though Casey doesn't have like a ton of prospects, I guess, coming up to replace him. He's kind of a blasé outfielder, kind of league average, which is not something I'd want to use my first round pick on.
Fair enough on that one. I mean, the player's good, but the slot of the position is what is in question.
Yeah.
I can see it there. The end of round, the Green Onions bookend this first round with Sammy Boy. Is it Basayo?
Yeah. Basayo. I've heard both ways.
Okay. Catcher from the Orioles.
Yeah. I need more catchers from the Orioles.
Handcuff for Adley.
Yeah, I need all the catchers that the Orioles have. The main thing is that he's not going to stay here at catcher. he might not even stay in the Orioles, and I don't plan on that. All I care about is his bat. So that's, I mean, his bat is on a historical level for his age, at his level. So I was very, very happy to get him at 16. We'll see what happens. I mean, he could just bust out, but I don't think he'll stay at catcher, especially in the organization that he's in. If he gets traded, maybe he'll stick around. But even then, I think they'll just want to preserve his bat as long as they can. So he'll probably get a position change sometime. But yeah, I really don't care where he plays as long as he hits.
In your assessment with the Fanatics pick, I will ditto with yours here. I think you could have waited on him and got him later. I could be wrong. We'll never know.
Yeah,
but this is one probably a reach. You probably reached for, and you could have gotten later or traded this pick to get some more assets for something. You know what I mean? It's just one of those that I talked to you about after the draft as well. That, yeah. This one fits as well. So, by the way, I don't know if I said it in the throughout the picks, but thumbs up, thumbs down. My thumbs down is Jordan Montgomery, as you heard, but thumbs up is Ethan Salas for one pick per round. That's what I'm doing. Cal, if you had one,
I'll do a quick thumbs up, thumbs down.
What do you got?
I will do, let's see here. Let's do thumbs down, Shanuel, and then we'll do a thumbs up of, I don't want to follow you, but I'll go Nolan Jones just because I think it's perfect for his team. I think it's a great pairing.
That wraps up the first round of the 2024. We will not go in detail like this for the next three rounds, but we'll be back to start off the second round in just a moment. All right, now, second round. We're not going to go digging too far, but second round had some picks in there as well. Once again, the Green Onions lead off the round and take Kyle Harrison, starting pitcher for the Giants. Another reach, but
no. You know. Whoa, okay, I'm going to stop you there. That's no.
It is the third pitcher gone, the fourth pitcher gone in the draft. So.
Definitely not a reach. Definitely not a reach. Maybe a bust, but not a reach. I think this is somebody I was going to take last year in the fourth round, but I went and got Tiedemann instead of Harrison. So okay. I already have my eye on Harrison.
If this was around the horn, I'd be muting you right now because that made no sense. It might be a bust, but not a reach.
No, I'm saying that he's at his value. Where I got him, that is his value. Does that mean he's going to be like an all-star, like Hall of Fame pitcher? No, that's not what that means. It just means that as of right now, his current value, where he's at, this is a good pick. I'm going to stand behind that one. I'll agree with you with Bassalo. I won't agree with you with this one. I will stop you there. Harrison already has a job. I need a pitcher. This is somebody who I already wanted to get last year, but I couldn't carry more than a single pitcher just because it's so brutal with the minor league system. So pretty happy to have him to start the second round. Again, we'll see how that goes, but yeah, I still think it's a solid pick. I'm going to stop you on that one. I will roll that over into your pick. We'll talk about our picks the entire time.
No, hold on. Here's my thumbs down already. Nick Pivetta, don't trust any Boston Red Sox pitcher. This note was done beforehand, so it's already outdated. Pivetta had a hell of a opening game for him, so kudos for at least this week. Was it the day that we were off, though? When did he pitch?
Yeah, there's a lot of good performances on day two, which is kind of frustrating.
I think he missed that one, honestly. That would suck.
Well, I'd given Lance a Teoscar, and he had two home runs on a day off, so I was like, got him. I nailed that trade.
Truly appreciate that.
Yeah.
So but, what, you're going to bash Rafaela?
No, I wasn't going to bash it at all. I just figured that I was actually going to say that I liked the pick. It was kind of a show of you changing your ways a little bit. I thought it was, you're replenishing while at the same time still having a player that's going to play every day. So you're slowly getting younger. I think the running joke of you having old players is now gone.
I'm gone.
Yeah, which is kind of tough because it was pretty easy material, but I'll have to find a new stick now. But I really don't mind this. We do have a whole Boston run as well, by the way. We have a three Red Sox and picks 2, 3, and 4. And
I'm glad that happened because I have way too many Red Sox on the team already.
And the best Red Sox is yet to come here because Roman Anthony is taken by the Badgers. Ken is absolutely doing his research. I'm very high on Anthony. I think he is very very similar to a Bassalo, where he is performing at such a high level for his age, at a historic pace. I expect to see him in Boston next year at say earliest probably. I don't think he's going to do anything spectacular enough to get him to the show this year.
I did. Here's a little side note. There was some chatter, a little bit of, you know, behind the scenes here about acquiring Roman Anthony, and then I put the brakes on. I'm like, dude, I got too many Red Sox. Let's pin this for now. Yeah. So it's like, okay, I gotta look at this and see, can I move some Sox to get an Anthony or what? This is like, holy crap, I didn't realize how many Red Sox I have.
Yeah,
Matt, I need some help, brother. Tell me how you do it.
And I have too many prospect outfielders, so I unfortunately this is not a pick that I could really afford to have as much as I like to have them, but I still love the pick. And I, you know, we said we weren't going to talk about every pick, but I guess, I mean,
well,
good talent here. We're still talking about some good players.
You can talk whoever you want, but I'm going to jump right to my other my thumbs down is Pivetta, but my thumbs up is going to be actually the 14th pick or 30th overall, Jared Jones, Black Sox.
Whoa. I can talk for an hour on that. Let's chill on that one. Cause I will go deep on that one. You jump in the gun on that one.
We're going to make this an hour and a half show.
I know. So don't get me started on Jared Jones.
But let's go.
Get started on Jared Jones.
Roman Anthony, you talked about. So, Luis Renifo.
Yeah, this one, brutal. Brutal pick. Honestly, was supposed to be the leadoff guy. I don't even know if that was really the case when this pick was made. Definitely in the early spring training part. This is supposed to be, honestly, a solid pick. You get the leadoff guy for any team, you're going to get a ton of ABs. Honestly, Rengifo wasn't a guy that's going to light up the board or anything, but still will be
for a position.
Yeah, he plays on positions and has like a just below league average bat, which just below league average bat with that many positions makes him above average. So that's still a good pick in the second round. Unfortunately, this is now looking like, and this is where we have hindsight on our side a little bit, that we get to see how these players are being used early on. Rengifo is a bench guy on a crappy team. So, not a great look in the second round to use that pick on anyone that's in that spot.
Let me rephrase what you just said there.
Yeah.
He's a bench guy on a fragile team, so he's valuable.
Fair, I guess. Yeah, I guess it's fair. But honestly, the fact that the Angels show that little faith in him when they have no reason not to doesn't bode well, I would think. But yeah, you're right. The team is made of glass, so I can imagine he'll get some time at some point.
You get a little bit of a little bit of a cushion, I guess. You're in the second round now, so it's not the cream of the crop prospect elite type players. You can mess around with, you know, your bench players here too. This is where I love second and third rounds are always the best because you get the best of both or the worst of both and see who actually throws the dart best. So to be continued with all these picks, to be honest, so. Next pick was Chase DeLauter going to the Breaking Badgers, number 22 overall.
Yeah, Ken is knocking it out of the park right now. This is another good outfielder pick, another one I probably couldn't afford to have. DeLauter was the prospect darling towards the end of the season, along with Anthony. DeLauter's a little bit older. He's 22 compared to Anthony's, like, I think he was 19 last year going into the season. DeLauter, though, was hitting .335 across three levels last season. That's absurd. I mean, it's just crazy numbers. I think he had an OPS of almost 1,000. So this is across three levels in one season, which is already showing that the Guardians, I think, really want him up there as soon as he can. Probably still has things to work on, but he'll be up in no time. He'll be an impact bat for both the Guardians and the Badgers.
Alex are on the clock with the 23rd pick, and they take the Yankees' Austin Wells. What you got with this one?
It's kind of a committee right now in New York, which, I mean, I don't think they've really had a catcher since Posada. I don't know. I can't remember the last catcher they've had that they've played every day. I don't know if it's just Boone's MO as – I don't know. I don't know if that's just like his thing. But if someone was going to break through, I think it should be Austin Wells. He's got the bat. He's got the offensive skills. He should be the starter by end of year. I don't know if he can really – push his way into that role, but I think he's got the tools to do so. And then we can roll that into the next pick, which is the
stopping you there.
All right,
because this is all outdated. Don't know if you saw the waiver or the ticker, but Austin Wells was moved for Kyle Schwaba. Fanatics acquired Schwaba. That was today. So
I totally forgot about that.
basically, you translate this pick with the 23rd pick overall,
to Schwarber.
Kyle friggin' Schwarber. So,
another
kudos. But hey, if you're going to have a Philly, you get that dude.
Yeah, he's cool. He's a good vibes guy. Good locker room presence.
200 punch outs and 40 dingers. You take it. Yeah. So, yeah, that was a solid flip, in my opinion. But yeah. Now on to the history making pick for the new franchise. The Southside Hitmen were on the clock. And they went with Colson Montgomery and the White Sox. Shocker.
Not incredible. I would say not incredible counting stats, but will be a guy who does a lot of things well. I think he has good plate vision. It's kind of shown on his numbers here. He had 56 walks, 56 strikeouts, dead even last year. And had a 940 OPS, which is well above average. So maybe he's not going to hit 30 homers and steal 30 bases, whatever, fine. But very much a similar guy like we had talked about prior, who's just going to get you points every day, which is really all that matters in this league. Because Kyle Schwarber, who gets you 8 one day, and then for the rest of the week it's negative 14, not ideal, I guess, I'd probably say. But Montgomery, who gets you like 2 to 3, that's going to be nice.
All day. So solid. Congrats. Great face of the franchise for the Hitmen. As a shy Sox fan, perfect. You know, you couldn't have, especially sitting there and with the 24th pick. I mean, he nailed it. You know, considering you got your boy, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So, congrats on that one. So, Wonders are on the clock at number 25. I guess we're doing every pick. This is hilarious. Tyler Black, solid, quiet, another Wonders pick.
Yes. I think Black should have made the roster. Just going into opening day. I mean, I know they gave Churio the job. Tyler Black is 25. He's one of their top prospects, and he didn't have like a horrible spring. He's definitely enough to make the team. He'll be up shortly. I'm sure that team's going to have enough in and out of whether or not it be injuries or they're kind of going to be on the cusp of the Central being up for grabs. Yeah, Black will be up this year. I don't think he's going to be a huge impact guy, but I think he'll be a solid depth piece for the Wonders.
26 goes to the Black Sox, Shea Langlers.
Langlers, I think, is still in a catcher committee with Soderstrom. I could be wrong on that one. That's not something I know off the top of my head, but that does sound somewhat correct. I would give the bat more to Langlers' side. Again, it's not going to be. We're kind of at the stage of things where we're not seeing huge, impactful players yet. I think we'll go into that towards the back of the second round is where I think we see a little more talent. But yeah, right now it's kind of some mediocre picks, I'd say.
Like Graham on the clock, and they take Jet Williams at number 27, New York Mets shortstop.
Yeah, I'd say he's got this. There's a little bit of Altuve-ness to him. Super short, steals a ton of bags. Got a little bit of pop. I think he had 13 homers and like 45 stolen bases. So not something you see from a guy who's 5'6", hitting 13 dingers. I mean, we'll see if the power develops even more. But yeah, overall, I don't hate the pick. But yeah,
and this pick surprised me. I guess he might not be as good as I think he is. Alec Thomas, lasting to 28th pick with 4 Phoenicians. How did he last this long? Maybe he's just not as good as I think he is yet, but this could be a good pick, in my opinion, in the long haul. But Alec Thomas going to the Tribe.
Yeah, I'm probably a bit more of a hater. I don't think he's really, I don't think he's shown what he was talked up to be. Because I think if you even go back to when he was a prospect, I believe he was ranked even over Corbin Carroll. So there was a lot of hype around him. But since then, he hasn't shown speed. He hasn't shown pop. He hasn't shown the ability to get on base. And he's had some time to do it. I think looking at it here, he's had like 800 at bats and has accumulated 13 stolen bases and 18 homers. So not loving it, especially with the 635 OPS. That's like league average at best. I'm not a huge fan of the pick. But yeah, I mean, you might be right. Maybe it all clicks. He's not like he's old. He's 25, so, or 24 rather. But yeah, we'll see.
With that hardcore select, Brooks Lee with the 29th pick overall, Minnesota's shortstop. Could be getting a nod shortly here, perhaps.
Yeah, I would think so. He was probably supposed to be the one to get called up. The Twins called up Austin Martin when Lewis went down. Right. But Brooks was already hurt, unfortunately. So I'd say he's that close to being up. So hardcore will probably have him up at this time, like sometime this year, I would imagine. They're just looking for an excuse to call him up at this point, I imagine. So since he's hurt, might as well just let him get the service time, do the Jackson Holiday thing, let him go. Correa probably have a bone spur or whatever in his ankle. I don't know. And then you can finally call up your prospect. So, yeah, I just wait it out. He'll be up this year.
And since you gave me the clue, don't talk about this guy yet, we'll skip number 30 and we'll talk about your mine and your pick.
No, we can absolutely we'll end
it. It sounds like we agree.
All right. Okay. Glad we agree. Oh.
Number 31 went to the Iron Paws, Matt Shaw. Big flex from me on my end. Really love this guy. It's my new crush, I guess we'll call it. A little side note, if anybody cares. Really wanted him in my big league, my big boy league, my 30-team league. Sitting there early in the draft and traded down, thinking I could get him later, and got burned, and he went with the pick where I was going to get him. So, kind of like redemption here, I guess.
Yeah, just like a rage
pick. Got him in the sandlot. What's that?
It's pretty much like just like a rage pick. Like I'm gonna get him somewhere. Rage pick. I don't care where it's at. Exactly. I'm gonna get him somewhere. I gotta have a share of him.
Cool. So yeah, Matt Shaw. I don't know if anyone said his name, but Matt Shaw is an Iron Paw.
No, I would say I'm a Matt Shaw fan. He had 1,000 OPS last season in pro ball out of high school. So I would probably put him as a more valuable bat than like a Walker Jenkins, if we're going to talk high school bats, just because he plays second base and Jenkins plays outfield. But yeah, Shaw's bat is going to get him up to Chicago pretty quick.
And around again, the Green Onions bookending the second round as well. Brian Woo.
Woo.
And then went ooh to the DL.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
But yeah. It's gonna happen. I'm about to do it now. So
yeah, any piece of that Seattle rotation, I'll take.
Yeah, that's it was fun to watch the series. By the way, Red Sox and Mariners was a good series.
Yeah.
Let's end this round back up to the 30th pick, Jared Jones. My note, I'll let you talk about it. But my note I had down was this could be the pick we all go. Damn, he lasted to 30. Yeah.
Elite is what was my note, just elite. It was, I mean, I probably should have taken him. I saw him in spring. I wasn't really looking into like the deep numbers, and I probably should have been to something. This is where I messed up. I probably would have taken him over Harrison now looking back. But I was kind of wanting to see like, okay, he's doing this in spring. What's going to actually happen when he has to, you know, face regular season bats? We still don't know yet. It's been one outing. But 11 Ks in your debut is probably one of the best debuts we've seen in a long time. I don't remember the last time we kind of knew before the outing. Yeah, we absolutely knew that this guy was like, pay attention. This dude's got some serious stuff. He had 22 whiffs, just blew a strike right by him, which right at this moment leads the entire MLB. Like we're talking names like Gilbert, Hunter Green, Grayrod. They're all like in the top tier at the moment of that stat. And he leads the MLB at the moment. So we'll see if he builds on it. I think he's got the stuff to do it, but this could be a humongous deal for the Black Sox.
All right, we're halfway through. That ends the second round. We'll be right back with the third. Third round. Here we are. I promise we're not going through every pick. We're halfway there, but we're also 45 minutes into the show.
Yeah, I blame you guys for making good picks. Make worse picks, and we'll talk about them.
All right, so this is the way we're going to do this. I've got a thumbs up, thumbs down. I'll just throw them out there. And Cal, I'll give you the rest of the floor for the third round. This will go pretty quick.
Okay.
My thumbs up actually is this pick right here. Security pick. He's hurt right now. But this pick could easily be something for him to help him, or he can flip it to capitalize. So John Duran goes to the Fanatics with the 33rd pick. We knew he was hurt, but he got him anyways, and I like it. I like it a lot. So that's my thumbs up. Thumbs down, weirdly enough, ready for this? I don't think I've ever thumbed down to Wonders. But you, Darvish, again, this is a personal thing. I've just never been a fan of you, Darvish. But if you're a fan, not bad, just not good, in my opinion. So it's just one of those. It just stood out to me of all these picks I would have passed on. So where are you at, my brother?
The Durant pick is nice. I don't mind that at all. We're talking about a guy who probably has some of the nastiest stuff in all of MLB when it comes to the closer spot. Unfortunately, he is a victim of a Rocco Baldelli managerial ideology he has of just having some weird committee full of middle relievers and closers and throw them all together in a stew and see what happens. But yeah, Durant honestly should be a 40 saves plus guy, especially on a playoff Twins team. But we just haven't seen that, unfortunately. Maybe we will at some point. But yeah, to get 40 saves potentially, I mean, as far as skill level in the third round, hopefully the Fanatics can cash in on that a little bit. My thumb up, it's tough. I got a lot. I don't know. I would say...
Let's go thumbs down.
Okay, thumbs down. I'd probably have to go with Louis Varland. The Badgers, Louis Varland. I feel like I see a St. Paul Saints stint coming soon for Varland. I could be way off on that, but it's just I hope you are.
He's on my big boy team.
So. Yeah, I know. But I see him more likely going AAA than taking off, I guess. So I'd go with thumbs down on that one. Thumbs up. There's a few good values in this round. I would say I'm torn between you and Lance right now, but I might have to give it to you, especially for where you were at in your team. I really don't want to. It's not why I'm not a huge fan of it.
Oh, the last pick. Okay.
But yeah, Gavin Stone, I think, might end up being a really solid selection. I think he has a great makeup. He's got it's just his mound presence. It's very repeatable delivery. His changeup is solid. Misses bats. He's just a good mature presence on a Dodgers team that's going to give him tons of support throughout the season. So if he can hold on to that fifth spot, I know he's got some competition, whether it be Bueller finally entering the rotation or Kershaw coming back in later in the year. I don't know if he's going to be totally out. But if Gavin Stone can just keep his head above water and stay in that rotation, it should be a pretty solid pick.
Looked good tonight against your Redbirds. So
that doesn't count. That does not count. I don't care about any pitcher that starts against the Cardinals. Team's garbage.
Nice.
I hate that team. Sucks so bad. Never mind. No, I'm not going to talk about it. But anyways,
yeah, let's not go there.
But there is okay. We can roll this over. I'm going to segue this. I'm going to take over real quick. A bright spot. It would be part of the Dylan Carlson debacle. Of Dathan trading that away for it to get an injury. The beneficiary of the Carlson injury was the Heat Waves third round selection of the 15th pick of third round, rather. Victor Scott, second, by the way.
That has got to be the longest segue I've ever witnessed.
Listen, I was throwing it together on the spot. I was throwing it together on the spot and I just kept finding more ingredients to throw on the sub. It's kind of like a Subway when you just keep throwing on the vegetables, and it's like, this sandwich is not going to close. That's how it felt.
Is it edible, though?
Yeah. I think Victor Scott's, like, absolutely. So, I'm a huge fan of Victor Scott, obviously, as a Cards fan. I don't think he's going to be a huge, like, fantasy darling, but you're going to love to have him on your team. He's just going to be fun to watch. Lightning quick speed. Really hoping we're just seeing Vince Coleman 2.0, essentially. Put the ball in play and run as fast as you can. Huge Victor Scott fan. I think Lance getting him at the third pick and having some voodoo magic happen to get him a starting job, it's typical Heatwave stuff.
You had a few highlights on other players, or you want to just...
Yeah, we can go into the top part here, the third round. The second and third picks we'll go into here. Andy's, the Phenom, second pick, just pretty much start the third round after Duran. Was Spencer Jones, a New York Yankees first baseman. I do like it. There is a ton of pop here. He's a giant of a man, but I would say the main scare with him would be a lot of swing and miss. He seems to be missing a lot of easy strikes. It's going to be a bit of an issue if it keeps up, especially against more and more advanced pitching, moving up the ladder. But the pop is enough to kind of ignore a lot of the issues. Then the third pick would be Max Clark, the another high school bat, the mm-hmm. highest drafted high school bat in last year's 2023 draft class. The boys of mm-hmm. summer took him at, I said, third pick. Kind of struggling a little bit so far as far in the pro ball levels. I love his play. I still think he's got a great swing to go with it. He should be fine. He's got a pro level swing and work ethic. I think he'll be okay. But yeah, not the greatest start so far.
As I've said before, you got to be careful with overanalyzing, because they are, like you said, they're just kids stepping into a man's world. So they're going to struggle. Their stats are not going to be appealing. So this is where patience kicks in, and you let it play out.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I would say the final pick to kind of round off third round of guys that kind of stuck out to me was Ryan Pepiot. I think I botched that. Let's just assume I didn't. The Bail Bonds selected the 12th pick. I think this could be a really solid selection.
44th overall.
Never really had a large sample size over in LA. He was a Dodger. Got traded in the offseason. But now he's finally got a rotation spot. I think this could be a solid selection. I mean, we're talking about a guy last year who had a .7 whip. So that is well below average. Honestly, the main concern is that he is a Ray. The Rays are absolutely cursed with pitching injuries. So maybe he's on that long list of guys who are on the IL pretty soon here. I still think this is a really solid pick in the third round.
And that does wrap the third round. Like we said, we're going to be quick. Maybe we'll end with the fourth round coming up right after this. And here we are in the fourth round to end the 2024 draft of the Sandlot League. A fun fact here, there were only 7 teams that got involved with the fourth round. This was the Hitmen and the Heatwave round, if you recall. But there was 5 other teams that did join the party here in the fourth round. I lost my page. My thumbs up, if you will. Were thumbs down was Dalton Rushing. Had nothing to do with the player. Had to do with the pick. It took 8 freaking minutes for this pick to go through.
Yeah.
If everybody recalls. So, one too many. A little heavy in the court there, Lance. But, Dalton Rushing was a thumbs down just because of the owner, not the player. But the thumbs up, the other catcher just before him, Jefferson Carroll, going to the South Side Hitmen. Solid pick with the 60th overall. Mm-hmm. So those are my 2 highlights of that round.
Yeah.
Cal, what do you have?
Kira was on my list there too, as far as a thumbs up for the round. And it was actually the last of the Hitmen selection. They owned this entire round. This is their 5th pick of the round. I think they kind of ended strong there. He has a solid hit tool, and honestly, as a catcher, has above average speed. He should be up, I would say, I don't know, cause William is there right now, in Milwaukee, but he honestly should not be like left down more than next year. So yeah, he will get some playing time pretty soon on that team. And that team, I mean, this round is pretty much him filling spots. And I think he's also filling out his minor leagues spot here, his final minor league slot. Solid pick. I also have some other green flags in the round. The 2nd pick of the 4th round, Jake Berger to the Heatwave. Why do we keep letting this happen as a league? I feel like I need to have a chat with it. It's not really collusion, but it pretty much is, yes. Why do we let Lance get 34 homers worth of talent in the 4th round? It's crazy. Yeah, Jake Berger last year, 34 homers. And went untouched in the heat wave, scoop him up, fill up another hole. It's just frustrating. You hate to see it. And then we go to the 8th pick of the 4th round. Domers get a gem here.
56 pick overall.
Yeah, 56 pick overall. I think this might be my favorite pick of the draft, and that would be Jackson Jobe, the Tigers phenom. Front of the rotation stuff. Some of the best stuff you're going to find of any pitcher available here. Last year, he had 84 strikeouts and 6 walks. I did have to corroborate that with several other sites to make sure I was right there.
Is that for real?
Yeah, that's unfortunately a real
stat. How did I miss that?
I mean, this dude is lights out. He's so good. So yeah, I expect Job to be up in no time. I mean, honestly, they probably won't want him up this year. They've notoriously been a little bit slow with some of their guys, like whether it be Mize or Fiedo, or Scooble. Even Scooble, they kind of take their time with. So yeah, they're not that quick on the trigger with their pitching prospects. But when he's up, he's going to stay up, and he could potentially be ace level value for the Dombers. And to get in the fourth round could be a guy we go back and look and just say, why was he not taken earlier? So yeah, I solid pick at number 56. Towards the back end of the draft here, we have the Black Sox, with I think a very solid pick, kind of a little bit of a homer pick. I think a good deal here for the, well, I guess the White Sox had traded for this pick, and it was Drew Thorpe of White Sox fame. I probably should just cut this whole thing out because I feel like I'm lost track of what I'm even talking about. But Drew Thorpe of the White Sox goes to the Black Sox, and this is a prospect who last year had 182 Ks in 139 innings, some serious lights out stuff as well. Maybe not at the Job level of control, but definitely the Job level of just strikeout power, just puts you away. So yeah, I think a really solid pick for the Black Sox at number 62. And then the final pick of the draft to the Heat Wave, Zach Little or Littell. I don't recall which one it is. I feel like I've heard Littell. I honestly, what's up?
I would go Littell.
Yeah, I'd go Littell too. This is a solid SPARP option. I think this is just Lance not spend, wanting to spend whack pretty much to go get a guy. He was able to sneak on to the Rays opening day rotation. I don't know if he'll stay there, but he's already made an impact in his first outing. He's already made his debut and has no reason, honestly, to be sent back down until, I don't know, maybe a Taj Bradley or, you know, one of the slew of other Rays injured guys comes back. But yeah, this should be a pick that Lance can keep on his roster for a while and a good way to end the draft.
And even though it's not in the notes, I will give props in the sup round. There were 3 picks, and Tommy Troy got picked up by the Black Sox. Sneaky, sneaky pick. I like the pick. Young, but a couple more years, you'll be seeing him in Arizona if he's not traded somewhere else. But Tommy Troy was a solid sub pick, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Yeah, I mean, did you give a thumbs down? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Fourth round, it's hard to give a thumbs down, really. I don't really want to give a thumbs down.
That's true.
Because a lot of it's just hole filling or, you know, just like a bunch of just got of teams not want to spend whack. My biggest thumbs up might be Jackson Job, though, for sure. Might be the thumbs up of the awesome draft.
One final thought overall, I am going to give a big thumbs up to the Phenoms, probably giving him a star for the draft. Everyone did well, but I keep looking at his picks and it's like, damn, dude, you did awesome. Wrap up with 5, 7, 8, Paul Skenes, Dylan Cruz, Ethan Salas, and then Spencer Jones in the late or the early third round. He's walking away, dude. I mean, he'll be set in 2026 with these guys, yeah, if he just waits on them. So,
yeah.
Well done, in my opinion. Probably the best draft, you know, coast to coast, if you will. Everyone had good picks, but this one was like, boy knew what he was doing, it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, would probably agree with had that.
Help with the Twins.
I'd say a close second would be the Badgers. I mean, the Badgers had a full list of Merrill, Anthony, DeLauder, and mm-hmm. they rounded off with Varland, which I wasn't a humongous fan of. But still, with what he had, he worked pretty well with what he had. So yeah, but Andy kind of wins this draft, I think, overall, just as of right now, walking out of it.
Awesome. So that's a wrap on the 2024 Sandlot League draft. I know, Cal, you want to do some season predictions. That was a curveball for me. I will agree with you, and I hate to do that because that's bad radio, I guess, but you have down division winners.
Mm-hmm.
So The Moonlight Grahams and the Breaking Badgers.
Yeah, I
totally
think,
agree with those two names.
Yeah, I don't want to be kind of boring, but like the Badgers were a team that were kind of supposed to be, if you will, the division winner. Ended up, I don't even think they made the playoffs last year. Like they were far and away, as far as scoring, the best team. And I don't think Lightning will strike twice. I do think that the Badgers can probably, you know, claim the throne of a very difficult division to lead. So yeah, I think Ken's Badgers will by end of season be the team to beat in the Bigfoot division. And then yeah, the Grahams, their team is just too stacked, I think, to say otherwise. We're talking just like Freddie, Betts, Bregman, Bogarts. I'd say top to bottom, just an offensive presence for sure. So it's going to be hard to beat them as far as, you know, just day in, day out grind with those guys. Having to face Betts alone is going to be enough, but you're throwing everybody else, it's going to be tough.
And with that, you had a category of the dark horses. This is going to be about as spontaneous as it can be. I'm looking at the standings now to look at separation divisions. You have who?
It was kind of a bummer because I wish, like, I already kind of wanted to do this before the season started, so I kind of have my dark horse candidates. Like, this is not indicative of how well the teams are doing currently. These are teams that actually genuinely thought we're going to have like a solid season.
We all know standings don't matter in the first weekend.
I know, but it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me that I picked you as a dark horse candidate who's currently leading the entire division with a 3-0 record and the most points.
Big flex, boy. Yeah. Big flex.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. You did.
Yeah, I know. I already had you pretty much in that slot of like this team's gone a full makeover and is, I think, finally hitting its stride of showing it all in full form. And you definitely showed up. I mean, to sweep the heat wave is no easy task. Also, to be fair, they did not show up at all. So I think he knows that. I think he will fix that. Your pitching is also overperforming, by the way. So you should know that.
it's not even April. Come on.
You know I'm right. But no, I absolutely
not argue. I'm just saying it's not even April. So
I think your streak of being out of the playoffs is going to be snapped this year, unfortunately. So I'm gonna have to hear a lot of that.
I sure hope so.
The Bigfoot division. I don't consider this as like a wow, what a pick type thing, but I would say Boys of Summer is a dark horse. If you just get them in the playoffs, if they just get in, they can absolutely do some damage. The hard part is going to be getting in when you got to face Hardcore, Heatwave, and the Badgers. It's going to be tough, but I think he's got the team to do it. This team just matures more and more each year because it was very much an emphasis on youth, and I think is now at a time where everyone's pretty much entering their primes. This is the window for the Boys of Summer to make a case.
Looking at the current standings, want to shout out to the South Side Hitmen getting their first ever franchise history win last night. So they're on the board, on the win column. We only have two teams that have not experienced a win so far. That'll happen. Fanatics and Heatwave. We'll get it. But a very short season started, of course. We do play tomorrow, so that's good. I would hate to have an off day already, but sucked not playing on Friday. Mm-hmm. Really did, but yeah. Put down some parlays and made it a little more interesting. But
gotcha.
With that said, we are underway. Draft picks are in, rosters are set, minor leagues are set, everyone's legal under salary. We're ready to rock and roll, guy. We are playing ball.
Yeah, I mean, optimism's at all-time high. So we will see. Absolutely. I mean, everyone's pretty much in it to win it at the moment. So we'll see what's going to be like.
Best shape of our lives.
Yep, exactly. Best shape of our lives. So we'll see what happens come dog days, because it's going to get ugly, I imagine. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be 2-1 right now. So yeah, to be above 500 at any moment in the season, I'm pretty happy about. So.
You're playing the beast too. You're playing the core, were you not?
Yeah, wasn't excited about it. I thought you kind of rigged the schedule on that one, but yeah, I was able to luck out last night and kind of put them away today. So I will see.
I don't even know if, honestly, I don't even know if I could rig schedule if I wanted to. To be fair,
yeah.
But I appreciate the expectations of geniusness of me. But yeah. With that said, we have ended show one of the 24th season. We will be back. Don't know when. Stay tuned. It'll be more than last year. That's our goal. We just don't know when. So until next time, we will see you at the Diamond.